This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of hemophilic arthropathy from the basic science section on orthobullets.com. Hemophilic arthropathy is a condition characterized by repetitive hemarthroses and ultimately joint deformation in patients with bleeding disorders. As far as the epidemiology, the incidence of hemophilic arthropathy has decreased significantly due to home factor treatment. The demographics of hemophilic arthropathy involves young males, and it affects patients between 3 to 15 years old. As far as the location of hemophilic arthropathy, the knee is the most commonly affected joint. However, the elbow, ankle, shoulder, and spine can also be involved. With respect to the pathophysiology of hemophilic arthropathy, the mechanism of injury involves persistent minor trauma. Root bleeding disorders may be hemophilia A, hemophilia B, otherwise known as Christmas disease, and von Willebrand's disease. Hemophilia A is an X-linked recessive disorder and involves a decrease in factor VIII. Again, hemophilia A is an X-linked recessive disorder and involves a decrease in factor VIII. Hemophilia B, or Christmas disease, is also an X-linked recessive disorder and involves a decrease in factor IX. Again, hemophilia B, or Christmas disease, is an X-linked recessive disorder and involves a decrease in factor IX. Von Willebrand's disease is a rare cause of joint bleeds and more commonly mucosal bleeding. It is an autosomal dominant disorder and involves abnormal factor VIII with platelet dysfunction. So again, von Willebrand's disease is a rare cause of joint bleeds, but more commonly involves mucosal bleeding. It's autosomal dominant and involves an abnormal factor VIII with platelet dysfunction. The pathoanatomy of hemophilic arthropathy involves synovitis, which leads to cartilage destruction, and this is enzyme-based, and ultimately this leads to joint deformity. Associated orthopedic manifestations with hemophilic arthropathy include hemarthrosis, intramuscular hematoma, otherwise known as a pseudotumor, leg length discrepancy, and or fractures. With respect to intramuscular hematomas or pseudotumors, these may lead to nerve compression. For example, a femoral nerve palsy may be caused by an iliacus hematoma. Leg length discrepancy can be due to epiphyseal overgrowth, and finally, fractures can be due to generalized osteopenia. However, they have normal healing chronology. Associated medical conditions and comorbidities with hemophilic arthropathy includes HIV, with a prevalence of up to 90% in hemophiliacs. Prognostic variables include the degree of factor deficiency and the presence of factor VIII inhibitors, including IgG antibodies. The degree of factor deficiency determines the severity of disease. Mild disease is seen in 5 to 25% of patients, moderate disease in 1 to 5% of patients, and severe disease in 0 to 1% of patients. As far as the presence of factor VIII inhibitors, including IgG antibodies, the IgG antibody inhibits the response of therapeutic factor treatment, that is monoclonal recombinant factor VIII. This is found in 5 to 25% of hemophiliac patients and is a relative contraindication for surgical interventions and therefore should be screened preoperatively. As far as the classification of hemophilic arthropathy, the one to know is the Arnold-Hilgartner staging system, and this is divided into 5 stages. Stage 1 shows swelling of the soft tissues. Stage 2 shows osteoporotic changes. Stage 3 shows development of subchondral cysts, and the joint is grossly intact. Stage 4 shows cartilage loss with narrowing of the joint. And stage 5 demonstrates severe arthritis of the affected joint. As far as the presentation of hemophilic arthropathy, patients may have symptoms of painful range of motion of the joints, hemarthrosis, and paresthesias. As far as hemarthrosis, as we mentioned, the knee is the most commonly affected. With respect to acute hemarthrosis, presentation will show a painful and tense joint effusion. Subacute hemarthrosis occurs after 2 prior bleeds. And as far as chronic hemarthrosis, presentation will demonstrate contractures or arthritis. Other symptoms may include paresthesias, specifically in the L4 distribution, may be caused by an iliacus hematoma that compresses the femoral nerve. Again, paresthesias in the L4 distribution can be caused by an iliacus hematoma that compresses the femoral nerve. Moving on to imaging, radiographs of the knee may show squaring of the patella and femoral condyles. This is known as Jordan sign. You may also see ballooning of the distal femur, widening of the intercondylar notch, joint space narrowing, and the patella may appear long and thin on the lateral view. The ankle x-rays may show joint arthritis, the elbow x-rays may also reveal joint arthritis, and overall you may see epiphyseal overgrowth, generalized osteopenia, and/or fractures in these patients. An MRI can be used to identify early degenerative joint disease, and an ultrasound is often helpful to follow intramuscular hematomas. Some other studies to keep in mind include certain labs, such as screening for factor VIII inhibitors, including IgG antibodies, and this is indicated prior to surgery, as presence will negate the effects of factor treatment. Histology in the setting of hemophilic arthropathy will show hypertrophy and hyperplastic changes to the synovium. As far as the differential for hemophilic arthropathy, the major diagnosis to rule out is septic arthritis, and concomitant infection should be ruled out by physical exam and joint aspiration. Treatment of hemophilic arthropathy can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management can include compressive dressings, analgesics, short-term immobilization followed by rehabilitation, factor administration, and/or desmopressin. Compressive dressings, analgesics, and short-term immobilization followed by rehabilitation is indicated in the setting of joint pain. As far as specific modalities, steroids can be used to help reduce inflammation, splints and braces can be used, and physical therapy may help to prevent contracture development. Factor administration is indicated in the setting of vigorous physical activity, where you should increase factor VIII by 20%. Other indications include acute hematomas, including intramuscular hematomas, and in this setting, you should increase the factor VIII to 30%, acute hemarthrosis and soft tissue surgery, where you will increase factor VIII to 40 to 50%, and finally, in skeletal surgery, you should increase the factor VIII to 100% for the first week following surgery, then maintain at greater than 50% for the second week following surgery. As far as modalities of factor administration, home transfusion therapy has reduced the severity of arthropathies. Again, home transfusion therapy has reduced the severity of hemophilic arthropathies. Desmopressin is indicated in the setting of mild or moderate hemophilia A. Again, desmopressin is indicated in the setting of mild or moderate hemophilia A. Operative options for hemophilic arthropathy include synovectomy, synovioorthesis, total joint arthroplasties, and arthrodesis. Synovectomy is indicated when there is recurrent hemarthroses recalcitrant to medical management. Keep in mind that in this setting, you should increase the factor VIII to 40 to 50%. And as far as outcomes, synovectomy decreases the incidence of recurrent hemarthroses and limits pain and swelling. Synovioorthesis is indicated in the setting of chronic hemophilic synovitis that is recalcitrant to medical management. The technique involves destruction of synovial tissue with intra-articular injection of a radioactive agent, specifically colloidal phosphorus 32 chromic phosphate. Total joint arthroplasties is indicated in the setting of end-stage arthropathy. As far as perioperative care, in these patients you should increase the factor VIII to 100% for the first week postoperatively and then maintain at greater than 50% for the second week postoperatively. Finally, arthrodesis is indicated when there's arthropathy of the ankle. Again, as far as perioperative care, similar to total joint arthroplasties, you should increase the factor VIII to 100% for the first week postoperatively, then maintain at greater than 50% for the second week postoperatively. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, which of the following bleeding disorders is caused by an X-linked recessive mutation? And the choices are 1, factor VIII deficiency, 2, factor IX deficiency, 3, factor XI deficiency, 4, von Willebrand factor deficiency, and 5, both 1 and 2. The correct answer to this question is 5, both 1 and 2. So both hemophilia A and B are inherited by X-linked recessive patterns. Hemophilia A is caused by factor VIII deficiency, whereas hemophilia B is caused by factor IX deficiency. To quickly review, factor VIII deficiency, also known as hemophilia A, most commonly affects males due to the X-linked recessive inheritance pattern and occurs with a frequency of 1 in 5,000 males. Factor IX deficiency, also known as hemophilia B, also only affects males due to X-linked recessive inheritance with a frequency of 1 in 30,000 males. Both disorders commonly present with recurrent spontaneous hemarthroses that affect large joints, typically the knee, leading to chronic synovitis and eventually joint destruction. Initial treatment involves factor replacement to within 60% of normal, joint aspiration, and immobilization until the physical exam is normal. Treatment for chronic synovitis involves radiosynovectomy, open synovectomy, or arthroscopic synovectomy. End-stage joint destruction requires reconstructive surgery with aggressive factor replacement pre- and postoperatively. Luck et al. Performed a review on hemophilic arthropathy and recommended treatment options for hemophilic arthropathy. The authors recommend that infants get primary prophylaxis with factor replacement prior to developing a quote-unquote target joint. In patients that experience a hemarthrosis, factor replacement with joint aspiration and immobilization until a normal physical exam are paramount for reducing chronic synovitis. Synovectomy, either arthroscopic or open, is recommended for chronic synovitis to reduce the progression of arthropathy. Then arthroplasty is reserved for end-stage joint destruction characteristic of recurrent synovitis. Zing et al. Performed a retrospective review of 43 consecutive total knee arthroplasties in patients with hemophilic arthropathy. At 9.5 years follow-up, there were 2 hematogenous infections, 3 revisions, 94% good to excellent patient-reported outcomes, and significantly increased range of motion compared to preoperative examination. The authors concluded that TKA remains a successful option for end-stage arthropathy for hemophiliacs, but outcomes do not reach the level of non-hemophiliacs. Journeycake et al. Performed a retrospective review on 28 arthroscopic synovectomies performed on pediatric hemophilic patients with chronic synovitis. At 5 years follow-up, 76% of affected joints had stable or improved levels of function. The authors concluded that arthroscopic synovectomy provides a reliable means for limiting current hemorrhage in the affected joint and improving range of motion. Moving on to the next question. A 48-year-old man who is scheduled to undergo total knee replacement has an X-linked clotting disorder that leads to abnormal bleeding and recurrent spontaneous hemarthrosis. Before undergoing surgery, he should have replacement therapy of, and the choices are 1, protein CNS, 2, vitamin K, 3, von Willebrand factor, and 4, factor 8. The correct answer to this question is 4, factor 8. So hemophilia A is an X-linked recessive deficiency of factor 8 that can lead to significant bleeding problems, including recurrent spontaneous hemarthroses that can lead to synovitis and joint destruction. Von Willebrand disease is a lack of von Willebrand factor that leads to decreased platelet aggregation. More commonly, patients have mucosal bleeding and not hemarthroses. Vitamin K deficiency is not hereditary. It is typically attributable to inadequate dietary intake, malabsorption, and loss of storage sites from hepatocellular disease. Protein CNS deficiencies are autosomal dominant diseases that lead to thrombosis, not bleeding, as protein CNS shut off thrombin formation. And moving on to the final question, what is the primary cause of the decreasing incidence of hemophilic arthropathy in the last 10 to 20 years? And the choices are 1, aggressive physical therapy of involved joints, 2, selective joint injections with steroids, 3, availability of and use of home factor treatment, 4, surgical debridement of involved joints, and 5, use of splinting to prevent joint contractures. The correct answer to this question is 3, availability of and use of home factor treatment. So home factor treatment has decreased the incidence of hemophilic arthropathy. Since 1992, recombinant factor 8 was approved in the United States and can be safely used as prophylaxis or episodic treatment of hemarthrosis. Essentially, recombinant factor 8 eliminated the risk of HIV and hepatitis virus transmission associated with plasma-derived coagulation factors. That's all for this review about hemophilic arthropathy. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.